بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we are on the 47th session concerning spiritual discourses. And in this session we will discuss the second harm of pride is to reject the truth. He who thinks that he is better than another Muslim and holds him in contempt and looks upon him as small, rejects truth knowingly and takes pride in his treatment with the people. He who does not like to be humble to Allah or to obey his injunctions and commands or to follow Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this person will be ruined because of his pride and arrogance, which leads to open transgression and disobedience. Rejecting the truth, unfortunately, has become the order of the day. Why, when a person puts his own intellect above the laws of Sharia, then he is going to destroy himself. Simple, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran Kareem that وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ بَيْهِ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى, that Allah has made transaction permissible and has declared interest as haram. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated that in charity there is gain, and in interest there is decrease. So when man is full of pride and arrogance, when he looks at the balance sheet, he says, I earn so much interest. And then when he looks at the balance sheet after giving in charity, he feels, oh, my money started at 100,000 and I gave 10,000 in charity, now it has become 90,000. He feels, no, why must I give? Because my money is going down. So he puts his intellect above the law of Allah. He does not want to follow the injunction of Allah. He does not want to take the guidance from Allah. He rejects the truth. And when he rejects the truth, then Allah makes war on him. Allah has declared, I make war on the person who indulges in interest. And this person here, he feels that he's got 100,000 rand and now he gets interest, he's got more. End of the year, he looks at the balance sheet, he feels, oh, I got 110,000 rand. He does not understand the concept of barakah, of blessing, of goodness. Because this is not confining to his logic and intellect. So he decides, no, I'm not giving charity, I'm taking interest. He decides, not giving zakat, I'm taking interest. So there is no purification of his wealth. As a result, he is going to self-destruct. He's going to implode. He's going to destroy himself. He thinks he is wealthy, but he is drowning in interest, and sooner or later, the rot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will finish him up. Why? Of pride. Because he's giving his intellect. He thinks he is logical, reasonable, rational by looking at the balance sheets of interest taking and charity giving. But when a person has firm faith in Allah, then he'll give charity. Look around. Even in our age, we can see it. Those who give charity are becoming more richer day by day, month by month, year by year. And those who are holding back, they are becoming poorer. They are not happy, no peace, no tranquility, no smile on their face, no noor in their face, on their face. And when we talk of charity, what great mistake we are making. We think charity is only for the rich man. Wallah, all those who are listening, listen carefully, that you too become habitual in taking out your zakat and taking out 1-2% of charity. 1-2%, you may feel this is a lot. But you start giving charity, you will see so much of barakah in your life. Do not worry. You may think 1-2% is very little amount. But wallah, it is a very large amount in the eyes of Allah. Remember, pro rata you will be rewarded. Understand carefully what I am saying. Pro rata you will be rewarded. 1 millionaire, he gives 2% charity. And one person who is breaking even, I will say, but he's giving zakat, he gives also 1% of his wealth. He will be getting the same reward as that millionaire giving 1% in charity. And this person here, who's just breaking even, he's giving his 1%, they'll get the same reward. Because it's that 1% counting, not from that million or not from that person who's breaking even. Try it. You will see so much of goodness, so much of barakah in your life. It's unreal. There are many out there who give 2.5% zakat of their wealth and 2.5% lillah of their wealth. And they are becoming richer by the day. You try it. Give 2.5% of your zakat. Don't wait to be millionaire. And give 2.5% lillah. Do not go to the restaurant for the amount of times you're going. Give. Obey the law of Allah. And see the barakah. Do not put the intellect before the clear laws of Allah. In the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that war is declared upon the person who harms, injures the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. And first step of criticizing great personalities like the Anbiya alayhi salam is when the person starts talking ill of his alim, the ulama, Rabbani, Haqqani. If the alim is one who is enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, and if that alim is from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, and if that alim is truly following the Sunnah and the Quran Kareem, and if that alim is steadfast on truth, forbidding what is evil, and if that alim is a true alim, not one who is flexible according to the circumstances, not one that in his country he abstains from video photography, shaking hands with ladies, but when he goes overseas he does everything, and not one who in one circumstances he does something, he sings the tune of the public, not that one. Not one that he is eating haram and telling others to eat haram. Not one who is legalizing everything and anything. Not one that who is sanctioning innovation. Not one who is swaying with the wind with his decisions. That's why mockingly the public nowadays tell us that, are you a grand mufti? Meaning that will you take a grand, 1,000 rand and change your ruling? How pitiable the situation has become that they mock us like this. Why? Because unfortunately there are those who give one ruling to the rich man and one ruling to the poor man. I've seen this. I've seen this verbally and I've heard this verbally and I've seen this in writing. One ruling. And out of pride, because some mufti said something, no, because I don't like that mufti, I will rule against his ruling. Not for the sake of academics. No, Because you got differences, personal differences with that alim. So we should be very careful. So the first step is a person would criticize his good alim. Then he would go a little higher. He will start criticizing the great scholars in Islam. He will criticize the saints of Islam. And he will start rejecting their karamats, their miracles. He will look down upon everything and anything that does not sound logical. And then he will speak ill of the stories of the saints, which are reliable, authentically proven. Yes, fabrications, concoctions, no one is actually one to believe in. Weird, weird stories, especially narrated to Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh. Those weird fabrications and concoctions, no one has to listen to. No one has to believe. But authentic, reliable, well-documented miracles of the awliya, that we should rely on. But it has to be reliable and authentically proven. And then the person would start criticizing the great scholars, the muhaddiseen, like Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Muslim Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Tirmidhi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Abu Dawud Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Nisai Rahmatullah Alayhi. This person would start criticizing them now. He'll think he's better scholar than them out of pride. He'll reject the truth. And where it will take him now to criticize the great A'imma Arba. That is why you'll find the person does not want to make taqleed out of pride. He rejects the truth. And he will now start criticizing the laws and rules and regulations expounded by these great A'imma Arba, the four great illustrious imams of jurisprudence. And then he will start going ahead. Because he started from a simple thing, looking simple, criticizing the ulama-e haqqani, rabbani, the right ulama, righteous ulama. Then he'll go now, after criticizing the a'imma arba, he'll start criticizing sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And now he'll feel and get himself in the position of a judge. Who is right? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha or Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Who is right? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu or Hazrat Mawiya radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Now because of Shia literature, Maududi literature floating around, Batil literature floating around, Khawarij literature floating around, internet, YouTube, stupid statements have been made, ludicrous statements have been made, and he'll start criticizing the Sahaba, whom Allah is pleased with, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And when Allah has given them certifications of Jannah, who are we to criticize them? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested them, tested their iman, who are we to be upset with them? And when we criticize Sahaba, we are actually criticizing Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is their teacher. When he is their teacher, what authority have we got to criticize and speak ill of them? So, because of pride, because he rejects the truth, when a person looks down upon others, so the person looks down upon the awliya, the A'imma Arba, the Muhaddiseen, the Mutakallimeen, then finally he looks down upon the Sahaba. And then when the person goes one step further, he begins to criticize the Anbiya alayhi salam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability that we should stay away from criticizing those who are righteous and pious. Provided truly they are righteous and pious, we should control our tongue. Otherwise we will become those who are destined and headlong heading for Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to lower ourselves, lower our heads in front of the great scholars of Islam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.